Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, November 2nd. I'm Ray Graff. Planning a trip? What do you pack? How do you prepare? Well, we'll discuss travel today with veteran travel planner Andrea Schwartz. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. Andrea Schwartz is a great travel planner with a lot of experience. Just got back from the Grand Canyon again, and we'll talk about that again. And we'd love to get your calls and questions in here. May the Schwartz be with you. We'll be back on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. You know, the world is a wonderful place, or so they tell me, full of excitement and adventure. And whether you're a seasoned traveler or venturing out for the first time, there's quite a bit of planning and packing that has to happen before you leave home. Well, we happen to have a travel expert in the studio with us. She is back again. Andrea Schwartz is a custom travel planner. She has been working with clients for over 25 years. She's an expert on American and Canadian national parks, having hiked through over 40 of them. She recently finished hiking the Grand Canyon rim to rim, 25 miles, for the ninth, count 'em, nine times. She has also traveled in Asia, Africa, and Europe, and flown over Denali in a bush plane. It's a plane made of bushes?
Yeah, something like that. That's what it felt like.
She loves to share travel tips with friends and clients. Her motto is, unused vacation days cannot be made up in the next life. So if you're planning a trip, or even if you're not, even if you're just thinking about it in the back of your mind, now's the time to get your travel questions in. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Andrea Schwartz, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Thanks a lot.
Well, you know, you don't look the worse for wear. You went the ninth time. You just got back about a week ago?
Yeah. No, I got back on Saturday night at 1 in the morning.
So the Grand Canyon, again, it's pretty much the same as last time, right?
Yeah, but every time you go, something interesting happens. And this time I saw a mountain lion.
Oh.
50 feet away, and I didn't have time to get scared.
Okay.
Or to get my camera out.
How big was the mountain lion?
It was big.
Yeah?
It was big and fast.
Did it look hungry?
You know, it just looked fast. It was on a cliff about 25 feet away from me and about 25 feet high. I came around a bend. There it was.
Did the mountain lion see you?
It did. And the minute it saw me, it leaped off the cliff, and then another leaping bound down to the creek, and it was gone.
I mean, they're probably pretty used to seeing people.
No, it's a very, very rare sighting.
Really?
Yeah, and in fact, everyone told me to report it to a ranger because you almost never see them. You occasionally see them if you're traveling in the dark. If you're traveling at night with a headlamp, you might see the eyes.
Oh, boy, that would be even more frightening.
Definitely.
Well, that's exciting, though. So welcome back.
And
you made it well, and you said you only saw a couple of people being airlifted out this time.
Two this time, yeah.
Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. And you made a comment to me. You said, not for air, but I'll have to repeat it. Most of the problems,
yes,
stupidity-related.
It is stupidity-related.
So what happened?
Well, people actually think that they can hike this rocky canyon a mile into the earth with no water, no purifier, no food, no supplies, nothing salty to replace the nutrients in their body, and they just head out. And then they pass out.
So with their pocketbook or whatever.
Something like that. Oh, yeah, okay. The story this year was the woman with a purse.
So what do you bring?
I bring a 35-pound pack with 3 liters of water, a water purifier, in case the various spigots along the trail are off, because that has happened.
Okay, so the water purifier will allow you to get stream water?
Stream water, yeah.
And so what is it, a double charcoal method? How do you make sure it's okay?
So this one is approved for 99.9% of removing bacteria and silt, and it's a really, really good one. It's fast, but it weighs 1.5 pounds. So
okay.
the ethos of the canyon is an ounce down, a pound out.
Couldn't you just hire someone to carry your bag for you?
No.
Make it a lot easier for you.
Nope. Everyone's carrying their own stuff. Mm. So, and then you have to carry a poncho because I've been in hail and rainstorms. You have to carry a lot of salty foods, potassium, foods.
So beef jerky and whatnot?
Well, yeah, I don't eat that, but I carry various nut and dried fruit mixes. Sweet potato chips are great because they have a lot of potassium and sodium.
Mm-hmm.
And my newfound favorite is coconut chips. They're lightweight, and they are loaded with natural potassium.
So you said 3 liters of water. How long does it take you to go 25 miles across the canyon?
Well, you know, this year I was extraordinarily lucky. I was able to secure a second night at the bottom. So you generally, they suggest that you do it 4 days in 4 stages. They suggest you go for the north rim to the 7 mile down campsite and then stay a night, then down to the Phantom Ranch a night, then up to Indian Garden a night, and then to the top of the south rim. I do it in 2 days.
Yikes.
And the time varies depending on the weather. I've had 120 degree heat. This time was so lovely. It never got over about 96, 97.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
It was.
Yeah, yeah. It's a regular paradise.
It was great. It was great. You keep wetting your shirt or your bandana and keep your body as cool as you can.
So there, you said there's a rancho what down there?
It's
like
called
a Ramada Inn?
The Phantom Ranch. So the Phantom Ranch has about a dozen cabins.
Yeah.
And four or five bunks. And each bunk houses 10 men or 10 women. And then the cabins are reserved for the people who ride the donkeys down. They get the luxury.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, that's reserved for them. So you can reserve it a year in advance at 8 o'clock in the morning. You have to call this number. And actually, I called this year. For next year, I called, made 700 phone calls till I got through. But I'm reserved for next October.
Oh,
I'm good to go.
So you're all set
for trip
number 10.
Yes.
Well, this will have to be a special
10.
One.
You know, I've seen a rattlesnake, I've seen a bighorn sheep, I've seen tarantulas, but the mountain lion was definitely the high point. So
I'm fascinated by this Rancho Diablo, what's the name of it?
Phantom Ranch.
Phantom Ranch, down at the bottom. So running water and electricity and everything?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, it's amazing.
Is there a wet bar?
Well, they have cans of beer, but understand that everything that comes down there to the canteen is brought by mule, so it is limited.
Ah,
very, very much limited. But it's a great, great place. There's a canteen room. I wish I could show everybody. And it's open for the early part of the day. And you can actually send a postcard that is carried up by mule. They'll stamp it carried
Fantastic.
By mule. I have to send you one next year.
All right.
Definitely.
You know, I'm thinking a blimp might work. Blimp right down to the bottom and blimp out. All right. Now, before we get to the calls with Andrea Schwartz, 800-348-2551, hang in there a few more minutes because last time you were on, we wanted to talk a little bit about the flyers' rights.
Yes.
And we only barely touched on it.
Yes.
And so I'll give you a couple of minutes here to discuss some of the things. I don't fly very often, but a lot of people who listen to this station do.
Yeah.
And so there are some things you want to clear up.
Definitely. So you have a Bill of Rights, and you can look this up online. The Federal Aviation stepped in a few years ago when they were being hounded by complaints of passengers about gouging, about being stranded on the tarmac. And there was one huge incident where people, I think it was Minnesota, I think it was the Minneapolis airport, people were 9 hours on the tarmac.
Wow.
No food, no water, no bathrooms at that point. And that's when it finally managed to get through.
Yeah, I remember that.
So they changed the rules around. There is a Bill of Rights for travelers. You can find it online. There's a whole set of rules that they airlines must comply with.
And what are the most important ones that you...
So 3 hours on the tarmac, and then they have to go back to the gate. That's it. And during that period of time, after an hour, they must provide water, the bathrooms must be maintained clean and serviceable, and they must provide snacks. Because there are people with medical issues, people with all kinds of issues. You can't just have them sitting there indefinitely.
Well, that's a fairly vague rule. I mean, they must be kept clean. One person's clean bathroom is not necessarily
Absolutely.
Another's.
But I think if passengers start complaining, they may go back to the gate more quickly.
I
and
see.
That's the issue, because they reserve the right to sit there endlessly on the tarmac waiting for the gate, for the to be cleared, to take off. And in bad weather or de-icing situations, that's not guaranteed.
Hmm.
So that's it. Your 3 hours are up, and they have to take you back to the gate and let you off the plane. So that's big. The other thing is that people have been very upset about the non-refundable flights. And sometimes you just have this thing where you see a sale and you say, okay, I'm buying a ticket, and then your significant other comes home and says, I have to work that day. I can't go. You have 24 hours for a full refund, a complete and full refund, no questions asked.
I mean, 24 hours after you purchase.
After the purchase.
Not 24 before you leave.
24 hours after the purchase. Well, in that 24-hour period, if you're concerned, you should get traveling insurance. Traveler's insurance is a very important thing, and The right kind of insurance covers you for a lot of eventualities that you mightn't even consider.
Hmm.
So that 24-hour period, you have time to think about it and think if it's going to work, if it is actually a trip that you can take. But you can jump on a cheap fare, a last-minute sale, and not have to worry. The only caveat, you have to have purchased that 7 days or more prior to departure.
Oh, interesting.
So if it's 7 days or less prior to departure, the airline reserves the right to make it non-refundable.
And now, again, I don't fly very often anymore, but in this day and age, if you buy a couple of tickets and let's just say your wife can't go, you can't just transfer that. You can't just say, well, my mistress will go.
No.
No?
No, no. And it's actually, part of it is being explained by security. So they have to have a PNR, which is a passenger name record,
mm-hmm.
and they can't change that. And in fact, if you spell a name wrong or put down a nickname or don't get the exact name on the driver's license or passport, the ticket is invalidated.
Ugh.
And you have to sometimes pay a fee to reissue it in the correct name.
This is why Rosemary Armeo rants about this sort of thing all the time
I'm
on the
sure.
round table. All right, we have a
tell her to call me.
All right, minute before break, give us one more.
Let's see, one more. Okay, so as far as delay travel, if it's a weather related, it's considered an act of God, and all bets are off. You are on your own to change the flight, feed yourself. In those instances, I suggest getting online at customer service and calling the airline or your travel agent.
Okay.
That is a faster way. Just use every option you can to change it. However, if it is a issue with equipment, of equipment failure, a problem with that, you can reserve the right to cancel your flight and get your money back. Let's say you're going to a wedding on Saturday and your flight's on Friday. You get to the airport and there's a problem with the crew getting there on time.
Right.
Or
software. We had a software outage.
At that point, you're going to a wedding the next day, and it doesn't make any sense for you to wait in line because you're not going to go the next day. You're going to miss the wedding. At that point, the airline is obligated to refund your money if you can't fly because it's not it's no longer a trip that you can take. Or a business meeting that you're going to miss, anything like that. That's all in the Bill of Rights. And you can ask for the contract of carriage. It should be at every boarding gate.
Our guest today is Andrea Schwartz. It's Travel Today on Vox Pop. The number to call is 800-348-2551. And the lines are starting to load up. We'll get to the calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Chester Common Table, new restaurant on Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers and spirits, outdoor seating, live music weekends, comfortable setting, chestercommontable.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com and on Facebook. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. Claire Pearson, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, for 14 years, offering plant, spirit medicine, and energy clearing for health, body, mind, and spirit, clareepearson.net. And the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world. WaldorfSaratoga.org.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number to call is 800-348-2551. Our guest today is Andrea Schwartz, custom travel planner. You ready for some calls?
I am ready.
All right, let's do this thing.
Let's
Melanie
go.
In Albany. Melanie, you're on.
Hi.
Hi there.
I am actually going into the Grand Canyon in 11 days.
Wow.
we're doing 3 days and two nights. And I heard you're talking about dry fruits and jerky is a great idea, Ray.
That always wins.
But I'm just wondering in terms of gear, because I'm somewhat desert familiar, but this is definitely outside of my wheelhouse. In terms of like the tent, the sleeping bag, the temperature swings to expect,
okay.
That sort of stuff.
Okay, so you're going in 11 days.
Yep.
Okay, and are you going rim to rim, or are you just doing the south rim and then back up?
You know, I honestly don't know. A friend organized the permits for hiking and said if I could get airfare, I can come.
Okay. So this is a little tricky, though, because if you go from one rim to the other, you have to leave your car in one rim or the other, and you need a shuttle to get back to your car. Also, everything on the north rim is now closed. So
then I would assume she planned accordingly.
Why is it closed?
Because October 15th, it starts snowing.
So the north rim closes.
Wow. Yeah. So I would suggest, even if you're doing south to south, that you get yourself some pitons for your hiking boots, because there could be ice at the top quarter mile, half mile for sure. They've already put the signs up that say icy conditions on the rim. So I would definitely get a pair of those and maybe even a pair of hiking sticks, because if it is slippery and you're on a lot of ledges, you want that extra support. In terms of food, if you're bringing are you bringing a stove, do you know? Or just
I don't know if they are. I will ask them. I wasn't planning to. I was going to go mostly dry, hardy type stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, the kind of stuff that really holds up in the desert in all kinds of weather, I would say, is like peanut butter or almond butter. Sandwiches, those are good to pack. Any kind of nut mixture and dried fruit mixture is a very good idea. And I would definitely bring the saltiest snacks that you like. So either salty pretzels or salty. And you're with people, so I'm always by myself. I carry a little front pack, because I want to have access to the food without taking my backpack off. But it isn't a bad idea if you want to do that, just so you don't have to keep stopping and unzipping everything.
You do it by yourself?
I do it by myself.
You're crazy.
I know, everybody tells me that, but what?
Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you. Safe trip.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're crazy. I mean, what if the mountain lion had gotten you? No one's there.
It wouldn't be the worst way to end.
Well, I think it's up there. All right, before the next call, this one came in via email from Josh, who says, any suggestions for a weekend trip in New England? My wife, 3-year-old, and I would like to keep it within a 3-hour drive of Glens Falls area, not having much luck searching online. So a 3-hour trip to New England.
Okay, well, are you looking for outdoors or are you looking for cities?
It's an email.
It's an email.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you cover both briefly?
All right, let me cover. Well, to me, Boston is always fun if you're taking a short trip. It's 3 hours away, and there's a lot of stuff to do for little kids. There's a great science museum. The bridges are fun. There's wonderful architecture. Boston is always a great, if you want to do cultural and interesting. If you want to do something outdoorsy, I guess Vermont, if you want to keep it short, is probably the best. There are a lot of hiking trails, and there's the Long Trail. So that's a lot of fun, and you can pick it up behind a couple of the hotels. And there are a lot of B&Bs in that area, which are nice to stay in. And this time of the year, it's really pretty empty, so you can get a good deal. So
well, there you go.
I would say Vermont or Boston.
All right, well, so you handled that email deftly.
Okay,
all right,
well, thank
moving
you.
Moving on to Polly in Kingston. Polly, you're
Hi,
on.
Hi, Polly.
Hi. I was so happy to hear about your Grand Canyon adventure.
Thank you.
2 years ago, this month, I had the honor and the great delight to be the artist in residence at the Grand Canyon.
Oh, this is Polly Law. Hello, Polly Law.
Hey,
Rich. I am impressed. Did you design the t-shirt?
It's okay.
Did you design the t-shirt that's only available at the bottom?
No.
Oh, okay.
What does it say? Get me the hell out of here.
Those are the ones they sell at the top.
I only made it about a third of the way down, and then I realized I had to climb back up.
Right.
So it is something that artists can do. There are residency programs in a lot of the national parks, and it's a great way for artists to really immerse themselves in the parks.
I agree, and they have a wonderful museum that. Yeah, I'm sure you attended the museum there, right on the rim?
Yes.
It's fantastic, and there's a lot of history there. Ann Coulter was the architect of the original buildings in the park. There's a lot of architecture.
Who?
Ann Coulter, a woman architect.
Ann Coulter?
Not Ann Coulter. Not Ann Coulter.
Who knew?
Coulter. No,
Mary
Coulter, sorry.
Okay, that's a different Coulter.
I'm sorry, my brain's fried. Too much politics.
I'm with you.
Mary Coulter. She was one of the first women architects, and she designed all the buildings there, including the Hopi House.
And they're lovely.
They're fantastic and great to explore. If you're not going to go down too far, it's good to check to that stuff on the rim. Definitely.
Well, I did a lot of hiking in the Pygmy Forest around the rim.
Okay.
And I also, as artist in residence, I was automatically entitled to be included in any of the programs that they had going on. Mm. So I went out on a little archaeological dig with a bunch of teachers and all kinds of fun things. Yeah. I got to meet the people that were doing the ecological restoration at the park, especially at the old uranium mine.
Yep. So do you have a question?
So that was... No, I just wanted to say that it is an opportunity for artists to get out there and see the parks in depth.
Agreed.
Holly, thank you.
Agreed. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye now. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Another email came in from Ian in Saugerties, who says, my wife, daughter, and I will be traveling to Durban, South Africa in December to visit with family. Mm-hmm. My wife's father called this morning to inform us that we have to bring special documentation when traveling with children, especially adopted ones. This is an adopted daughter, because South Africa is fighting child trafficking. How can we find out if there are any other special concerns we need to be aware of before we depart? Well,
very
that's a great
good.
Question.
It is a great question. And for me, when I get these kinds of questions about traveling to exotic places or places with lots of restrictions, I advise two things. Go to the government website, definitely, the transportation website for the federal government. I would also check in terms of health issues to make sure that if you're traveling with young children that they have all their vaccinations that are required. But in terms of documentation, call the embassy.
Good plan.
Call the embassy. That is the only way you're going to get the information you need, and get it in writing.
There you go. Well, thank you for that email, Ian. We appreciate it. Our phone number here is 800-348-2551. And let's see who's been waiting longest. That's Kate in Shelburne Falls. Kate, you're on.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about the Flyers Bill of Rights and flight insurance.
Right.
My 80-year-old father and his 65-year-old wife were recently scheduled to fly to Phoenix for a reunion of his with some childhood friends, probably their last time together, and he became ill, very ill with bronchitis, and they had to cancel the trip. And what happened was we had bought flight insurance for both of them, and they refunded his ticket but refused to refund her ticket. And, of course, it seemed very unfair in a case like that. Of course, a spouse would not leave a sick spouse and go on the trip by herself.
So did you purchase insurance for both of them or just for one?
Yes.
Well, that's actually completely wrong. And I maybe just send me an email, because if they both
really?
Had it, yeah. I mean, I use one insurance company. I'm not going to advertise them.
Oh, that's good.
No,
oh,
but okay. I know the parameters. And not only do they refund everybody on the trip if one person is sick, but they refund everybody if somebody at home, a member of the family, a child.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But how do you document that?
All you need to do is get a doctor's note, and you're good to go. And actually, if you call the insurance I use, if one member of the party is called to jury duty, everybody gets a refund.
Okay, so what is your email address, Andrea?
AndreaAione at gmail.com. I need to know when you send me the email what company you used, and I can see if I can help you out. But honestly, the company that I use has refunded $30,000 to people. When I had a couple going to Africa, and one of their parents was ill, and they got all of their money back, obviously minus the insurance premium, but no questions asked. They just needed documentation. So I have no idea what company you use, but it doesn't sound like it's...
We sent in the documentation of his illness, and they said that he was the person who was ill and she was not.
I
purchased those tickets through one of those online places, so I just assumed that.
Okay, well, in terms of online, always suggest you look online at all these various websites, but I suggest, if you can, to purchase directly from the airline. It's a much better idea, just in general, to purchase, if you can, unless you're saving a huge amount of money. But some of the online resellers are using purchased points that is actually illegal, and that's why their tickets are cheaper. And then you can get into all kinds of trouble.
Okay, so
that's
one,
something else, though.
One more time, your email address, Andrea.
Yeah, AndreaAirone@gmail.com. So it's my name.
AirOne.
Yep, Andrea Air 1.
Okay. Kate, thank you very much.
Good
Our
luck.
Number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by travel expert Andrea Schwartz. And Anne in Altamont is next.
Hi,
Anne, you're on.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I enjoyed hearing you talk about the Grand Canyon. And I went on a trip actually in 2010 with my husband, and we went through the Grand Canyon. So if people think you can't get to Phantom Ranch unless you hike or take the donkey, doing a rafting trip through the Grand Canyon is unbelievable.
That's
and
great.
We've traveled all over the world, and that's really one of our highlights. It was 2 weeks on rafts with amazing food right up until the end.
What happened at the end?
No. The food was never not fresh.
So there wasn't
That's
a terrible surprise
it
at
was,
the end?
No. It
okay,
was
good.
Excellent all the way.
Continue. I'm sorry.
But
that's a definite option. Did you helicopter in? Where did you leave from?
No, we went in at Lee's Ferry.
Lee's Ferry,
and we came out at Diamond Creek. So
perfect.
At Lee's Ferry, you're even with the river, and at Diamond Creek at the other end, you're even with the river.
Yep.
So I'll ask you both. Is this something that is you need a lot of experience rafting before you try something like that?
No, absolutely not.
You don't need to sit. Really any. they asked us the first night what our goals were for the trip, and my goal was to survive it. I was really petrified. But my husband and we went on a hybrid trip. You can go on a trip where they paddle or where you paddle or a combination.
Right. Yeah.
So my husband paddled every day and I paddled some and sometimes I rode in a dory, which is an old boat that they have taken on that river forever.
Yep.
And so it was just a wonderful trip, and I would really suggest even to your guest that definitely do that. It's a very different look at the Grand Canyon.
It's a pampered adventure for sure.
Well, it sounds like the way to go.
Well, not really pampered. We hiked every day.
Yeah, but you didn't carry all your own stuff.
No, the boat carried it.
Right.
No, and I hike in the Adirondacks, and our first day of retirement, we hiked the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu.
Wow, good.
So,
that's a great one.
Oh, that was amazing to come in through the Sun Gate. But, we hiked every day up trails. You're right, you don't carry your gear, but it's a rugged, you're sleeping either under the stars or in a tent. And
it's a great trip. I would suggest that for anyone who doesn't want to hike.
Well,
so,
Anne,
thank you so much
for the call. So have you done the rafting?
No, because I really want to experience the entire canyon rim to rim.
But you've done it 9 times.
Okay,
can't you take a break and do the rafting?
Well, I might do it in addition to, but I'm not giving up the hike yet.
Fair enough.
That's not going to happen, not yet.
Let's go to Betsy in Schenectady. Betsy, you're on.
Hi, Betsy.
Hello. So I have two things. First, a suggestion for the earlier question about what to do with kids.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Timeouts.
Okay. The Taconic Crest Trail.
Okay.
Is really good with kids. It's and especially if you just Google the snow hole.
Okay.
The snow hole, and that is very famous. It's a lot of geological stuff. It's only 2.5 miles to get to the snow hole. It's a very short little ascent, and it's really beautiful, and it's great for kids of all ages.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then my second thing is I did you can also do a raft trip where you get out at Phantom Ranch
and hike out. Yeah.
So
You can ride a mule down and get the raft. So the people who come out at Phantom and hike out, people ride a mule down, and then they take that same raft and take it to the end. So
I've just done the raft from Lee's Ferry, and then we hiked up out of Phantom Ranch, which was the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I would say that's great.
Because you still, that is a grueling hike up, but it was worth doing, and the rafting was excellent.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for the call, Betsy.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you.
800-348-2551, the telephone number. Andrea Schwartz is our guest. Andrea is a custom travel planner. So the rafting, does that close down in October as well?
No, it doesn't close down, but it's going to shut down pretty soon because it's not, well, the weather changes. So the issue is you're not going to be able to hike out of the North Rim at all until May. Until May. So you can raft pretty much most of the year because it does stay kind of warm down there, and you can hike from the South Rim. It's open 12 months a year, but you do have to be prepared for the weather changes at the top. Now, let's not forget, the North Rim is over 8,000 feet. The South Rim is a little over 7,000 feet.
Yeah.
So when you go down to 2,000 feet where the river is, you have a dramatic change in temperature.
So 2,000 is the lowest point.
2,000 is the lowest point. That's where the river is. The river is continuing to cut through the canyon, but it's millennia before it cuts down. It's you know, a paper-thin slice a year.
So is it a fairly arid climb? I mean, you talk about snow, and I thought, well, gosh, if it's so arid, you don't get much snow.
Not much, but the North Rim you get a lot because of the altitude. It's a very different climate, and you do get some at the north, at the south, but not a whole lot. But you can get icy conditions because once the rocks are wet, they can freeze. But it would, again, only be at the top.
Our guest today is Andrea Schwartz. Andrea, before we take our next break, we'll do another email here. This one came in from Carolyn in Albany, who asks, is a regular New York State driver's license still a valid ID for boarding a plane, or do you need an enhanced license or passport for ID now? There was talk a few years ago that the New York State license was not considered secure enough and that this change was coming.
Okay, so you can still use your New York State license as long as it's a photo image and it's not expired to travel in the United States. If you go to the Caribbean, the Bahamas, Canada, Mexico, anywhere out of the country, you will need a passport. Other than that, your license is good, but make sure it's not expired.
So even if I haven't driven across the border into Canada in decades, but I mean, in the old days, you just drove across. Now you need a passport?
You've needed a passport for several years.
That is crazy talk.
Well, what's crazy about it is you can wait online for 4 hours while they screen you. So it's complicated, yeah.
Our guest today is Andrea Schwartz. It's Vox Pop. It's travel today. Maybe some warm weather travel questions ahead. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts, Dairy and No Moo Dairy Free, Handmade Artisan Ice Cream, Sweet Baked Goods, Hot Fudge, and more, harolds.com. Northeast Solar in Hatfield, Massachusetts, helping Pioneer Valley residents live more sustainably with solar power for home, business, or farm. Keep solar local, northeast-solar.com. Penny Farthing Investment Management, Amherst, a socially conscious, fee-only investment advisor of personal, retirement, and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org. The Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate theater program in liberal arts with concentrations in design and technology, theater studies, and performance, newpaltz.edu/theatre. And the Cheryl R. Lindenbaum Comprehensive Cancer Center at New York Presbyterian Hudson Valley Hospital. NewYorkPresbyterian.org/Hudson Valley to learn more.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Our number is 800-348-2551. Our guest is Andrea Schwartz, custom travel planner. This is what we call the home stretch, and that means we try to blast through as many calls as we can.
Let's get them.
So if you're calling and I'm a little short with you, I apologize. We'll just move as quickly as we can. Mary, where are you calling from in New York?
It's Lily, actually, like the flower.
Oh, well, hello. It says Mary, but I'll go with Lily. How are you doing?
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, I'm calling. I'm actually on the Taconic and a rest stop. I'm driving between a family home in Vermont and my house in Brooklyn.
I love the Taconic. Okay, you're on with Andrea Schwartz.
How can I help?
So I just got done with a two-month trip with my partner. We sort of haphazardly decided to do a national park tour. a couple months ago, and we set out to do about 2 months and ended up cutting it a little short for time constraints with the changing of weather and also just budgeting. And it brought up a lot of things with people who couldn't believe that we were doing this because a lot more people used to do it and people don't as much anymore. And I'm just wondering if that's what you're finding and if you have budgeting tips and also how you deal with how many crowds are in parks during busy times of year. So I guess there's a lot of questions there and you can choose whichever you want.
Well, thank you, Lily.
So in terms of budgeting, that's a tough question because everybody has a budget and some people have very big ones and some people have small ones.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we're in our mid 20s, so we're sort of we're on a lower budget.
Okay. There's always the option of camping. That you can always do when the weather changes. Sometimes that's not so easy. But the other thing I would strongly suggest is, and this is true of any national park you go to, in terms of crowding. The crowds are on 5.5 million people visit the south rim of the Grand Canyon. One tiny fraction of 1% actually do any hiking. Same thing with Yellowstone. People go and they see the geyser pools and they see the mud pots. That's it. We did a 5-mile hike and we encountered a herd of bison. If you want to get away from the crowd, talk to a park ranger. They love the parks that they serve. They love when people are interested in getting into in-depth in the park, and they will give you the best possible tours, hikes for your experience level and for your time frame.
All right.
So National Park Rangers.
Lily,
best.
Thanks a lot
Thank
for
you.
The call. And over to Mark on the Thruway. Mark, you're on with Andrea Schwartz.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Actually, that reminded me of I was a park ranger in Yosemite for a season, and we certainly liked when people came in to ask about hikes they could do. But yeah. I was calling about Grand Canyon region. There's a great backpacking trip down to the Havasupai Indian Reservation, which is west of the Grand Canyon. They have a campground.
Yes.
And it's a fabulous hike through the desert. And then when you're down there, you're in a Red Rock Canyon that's about 500 feet wide, extremely narrow, with water that's Caribbean blue because of the mineral content. A very, very spectacular
And the
place.
Waterfalls there, too, the beautiful waterfalls. There.
Waterfalls, and there's tunnels to get from the Indians actually, you know, maybe 1,000 years ago, dug tunnels around, down through the rock to get from the top of the waterfalls to the bottom of the waterfall.
Well, you're a ranger, a former ranger, so that's a more experienced hiking event.
Well, it's about a 10-mile backpack trip. It's not bad, really. It's not a bad trip. Actually, from the campground, you can go about another 7 miles to get down to the Colorado River.
Right.
And it's kind of amusing because you run into people who are on raft trips hiking up to see the waterfalls.
Yep, definitely.
Well,
that's
thank you,
good
Mark.
Suggestion.
We appreciate that call. Over to Mike in Saratoga Springs. Mike, you're on.
Hey, Mike.
Oh, hey, how are you? I'm actually in the car. Sorry. But I don't know if this is in your wheelhouse, but I had a question about the frequent travel rewards programs, like particularly hotels.
I bet that's in our wheelhouse.
Oh, it is. Go ahead.
So I travel for business. I've noticed over the years, it seems like harder and harder to get those points to do anything. Like you save all these points up and you blow them on one night in a hotel in New York City. Or, I mean, maybe you can't tell me brand names, but if I did my research, are certain hotel chains more generous with their points, or
yes,
pretty much across the board?
No, they are better and worse. And if you send me an email, I can talk more about brands. But there's definitely, and it's actually a shifting kind of experience, too, because one of the best programs ever, which I've been a member of for many years and have benefited from, has just changed the parameters of what is required. So you do have to kind of do some research, but there are better plans and worse plans. Yeah.
Well, Mike, thank you.
I'll shoot you an email. Thank you.
Yep. Appreciate the call. Over to Jeff in Cambridge, New York. Jeff, you're on.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, thank you. I live in the beautiful town of Cambridge, right near the Vermont border, but I'm not making a plug for Cambridge. My wife and I are taking many trips to smaller New England towns and cities, and I'd like to put in a plug. You know, Andrew was asked about places in New England, and she mentioned Boston, and there were some outdoor things, but we've taken an overnight trip to Brattleboro, Vermont. That was just wonderful.
Yeah.
And Portsmouth, New Hampshire, beautiful. Portland, Maine, you know, as well as many others. Burlington, Vermont, beautiful place.
All good. Okay.
You make a good point.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot for that. We do appreciate it. I think you can pick any town in Vermont.
Yeah, pretty much.
Vermont's beautiful.
Well, they call it the cute town because there are no road displays. You can't advertise on the road.
I love it.
So they have a lot of control over how pretty they have all the covered bridges.
And Massachusetts. My wife and I think I told you in the green room, my wife and I went to Foxwoods over the weekend and we took the scenic route. And we went right through Massachusetts and then took 44 through Connecticut, New Hartford, Connecticut.
It's
beautiful
pretty,
little town in Massachusetts.
It's all good.
Has great towns. Let's go to Don in Poughkeepsie. Don.
Hi.
Hi. You were talking about passports required.
Yeah.
I think people typically think a passport is this book-like thing that you get, but there's actually another thing that you can get called a passport card. It is much cheaper to get if you choose, but it is only good for land and sea entry from only Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Bermuda.
Yeah, I don't advise that because the passport is good for 10 years, and over 10 years' time, I think it's a pretty reasonable buy, and I think that it's a document that everyone should really carry. You know, you just don't know when you might need to travel someplace.
Well, you need to flee the country.
Well, that too, you know, we went to that.
Yeah, so you can go to Canada or Mexico for
I think if you're going to go to the trouble of getting the passport card, you might as well just get the passport.
All right,
it's not
done.
That much more complicated.
We
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Andrea Schwartz is our guest, and boy, we're banging through the calls now. Bill in Gilderland. Bill, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, my wife and I are New York State residents. We drove across the Canadian border in 2015, and all we needed were our enhanced driver licenses.
Okay, there you go.
That's
Congratulations,
good.
Because that's not the information that I get on a routine basis, but I'm glad it worked.
Good for you, man. Hey, Bill, thanks a lot for the call. Over to Cindy in Wales, Mass. Cindy, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question about passports. I've seen a couple of different answers on the internet. I'm going to France in April, and my passport expires in September of 2017.
Okay.
That's a 5 months. So I've seen where for France it can be four, but everywhere else it's saying it should be six left on your passport.
Yeah. I think that you can double check with the French embassy website.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time they suggest six. And I guess my experience, why risk a problem? If it's going to need to be renewed anyway, it's good for the next 10 years. I personally would renew it.
I would lean toward that, too, then. I just wanted to see what you thought.
Yeah.
And also, that last call, I mean, I went to Montreal a couple of years ago through Massachusetts, and I definitely had to have a passport.
Yeah.
So I don't know
how do you go from
New York.
How do you go from Massachusetts?
Oh, well, I didn't go from. I started in Massachusetts.
Right.
I went up through New Hampshire, Vermont.
I dig it. Okay.
Yeah, so actually, you
right,
got
well,
me there.
Thanks, Cindy.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, that's the requirement if you look it up. So I'm not sure how it worked for him, but that's how it's listed.
Well, maybe the enhanced driver's license is different. What does it have, a chip?
It's just there's more of a screening process. Mm. It's not just issued based on getting a driver's test.
Yeah.
So,
Andrea Schwartz is our guest, 800-348-2551. Nina in Norwich, New York. Nina, you're on.
Hi, Nina.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My husband and I are going to go to St. Thomas, and I've never been to the Caribbean or Caribbean, however it's pronounced, before, and I was wondering if you could give me some insight on to what to do on the island and where to go and how it is.
Well, where are you staying?
Point Pleasant.
Okay.
On the East End.
Yeah. Is it an all-inclusive that you're staying at, or just a regular hotel resort?
No, it's a condo that they give you use of boats and, you know, kayaks. And
right.
That's about it.
You know what I would suggest? This is going to take a while. Email me, because, I think this is going to take up
too
much time.
Okay, so the
right
email
now.
Address once again?
AndreaAir1@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you, Nina. Over to Steve in Johnstown. Steve, you're on.
Hi, Steve.
Thank you. Hi, how you doing? I had a question. I just got back from Mexico, and when we got to the hotel, they told us that the hotel was under construction and there was no pool. So you can imagine how devastated we were when we got there. And I was wondering, on one of those online insurance or travel planners, Do they have some kind of guarantee, or is there some kind of reimbursement or anything like that?
Well, I don't even know how that happens. Honestly, I because one of the first things I check when I send people to any resort is whether or not there is any kind of construction going on. And if there is, it should be posted very, very, very openly on the website. So that's something that, should be absolutely visible. Did you plan this yourself, or did someone plan it for you?
Well, we planned it on, like I said, one of those online travel planning things, you know, on there. I don't know if I can mention names or whatever, but, you know, we were, like I said, we were shocked when we got there. Yeah. I mean, we made the best of it. I mean, the staff was great and everything like that, but I was wondering if there was, like, do they kind of guarantee something or some kind of, you know, a reimbursement of somewhat or...
Well, you know, the one thing you might have done is when you got there, you might have complained, but a lot of these online places are not full service, and this is why I suggest, you know, using, getting a relationship with a good travel agent who has traveled a lot and who knows how to look for these kinds of things, because the minute you book in a travel agent portal, you will see these kinds of things. It will tell you if there are renovations. And that's something that every client should know and make a decision about whether or not they want to travel. I don't think you have any recourse at this point. I think maybe if you had brought it up, you might have gotten some perk of or other at the hotel. But I do think it's too late at this point. So
Unless it's in the print, the fine print, it's caveat emptor, right? I mean, you get there and it is what it is, right?
Well, you know, not for me. I mean, when I do a booking, that's one of the first things I look at. Renovations are constantly being done at hotels, particularly on the off season, and that's why off season is less expensive. I mean, rooms have to be renovated generally every 5 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, common areas and things, there's always some kind of construction going on in hotels that maintain a high level. But they need to inform you, and that should have been a very visible part of your reservation. You should have known before you booked it. So I don't think you have recourse. Sorry.
Let's go to Paul in Coxsackie. Paul, you're on.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Andrea. How are you? Looking to go for a 25th anniversary out west, specifically California, maybe the coast. Do you have any suggestions where to start, where to end?
Yes,
that
I
type
do.
Of thing?
How long do you have?
maybe 2 weeks.
Oh, great. Okay, that's great. So have you been to California before?
No, I haven't.
All right, you're in for a treat then. You might even want to start in Oregon and do Sand Dunes National Park. Are you looking for outdoorsy stuff and that kind of thing, or just coastal? Do you have any specific kind of interest that you're...
Yes, you know, we love sightseeing and hiking and that type of thing.
Okay. So California has a few national parks. Depending on the time of the year you go, I would definitely get to the desert. There are two national parks in Southern California. And depending, again, on the type of the time of year you go, it might be too hot. But Death Valley is extraordinarily beautiful. And 2-3 days in Death Valley is not at all too much.
What time of year do you suggest, Andrea?
Well, you know, again, if you're going to do Death Valley, you want to go no later than April or May because it's ferociously hot there. If you're not going to do Death Valley, then I would say any time of the year is good, but spring and summer are beautiful in California. San Francisco is one of the greatest cities in America. It's tremendous fun to visit. You can walk over. I just was there a few years ago for, like, I don't know, 10th time. You can walk over the Golden Gate and go to Sausalito and Tiburon, and there's great hiking trails all around San Francisco. And then Silicon Valley is fun to visit.
Why?
So, endless. Why?
Yeah.
Because it's a home of so many of these startups, and it's really interesting to drive through. You can go to Google and Apple, and, you know, they're occasionally they do tours of these places. It's just... fun. And then you got to go to the 17-mile drive. That is a definite 17-mile drive on the Pacific Coast down south of San Francisco is one of the most beautiful drives in the world.
Okay.
It's email me.
All right. Well, here's an email question.
There's a lot in California to see.
In our last minute or so, this one came in. From Anna, who says, we are interested in planning a Caribbean family trip with a 2-year-old and 4-year-old and 2 8-year-olds, one of which is wheelchair-bound, plus 8 adults. What about Cuba? I've heard their age restrictions for the cruises. Any other suggestions that would be a handicap accessible but not too touristy. That's from Anna.
Yeah, okay. So there are a number of cruises that I could recommend. I would not recommend Cuba. And the main reason is because every time you get off at a port, you are not going to have what you're typically used to in terms of ramps or smoother roads that you can push the wheelchair on. It's going to be bumpy and cobblestony. It's a much more complicated place to visit if you have very young kids and if you have someone who needs certain accommodations for a wheelchair. So there are many islands that I could suggest. There's also, I mean, the proper cruise, a good cruise on a smaller ship could be perfect. And that way people could stay behind if they didn't want to do any of the port excursions, but they'd still be comfortable on the cruise. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, we have not enough time to go into what I would recommend in terms of companies. I'm sorry.
As a matter of fact, we're out of time. But, Andrea, great job today.
Thank you. It was just fun. I mean, I feel like I need a lot more time to answer these questions.
I guess that could be arranged. Where are you headed next?
That's a good question. I'm not 100% sure, actually.
Wow.
I'm thinking of Scandinavia. I don't know. I'm thinking of Russia.
How about a mule trip over to Rensselaer? I'll buy the mule. Support comes from Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, country store since 1923, offering aged cheddar cheeses, nostalgic candies, New York products and gifts, waterwheelvillage.com. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, plastic surgery dedicated to cosmetic surgery, laser treatments, and minimally invasive facial rejuvenation since 1996. Surgeon's hands, a woman's touch, CAPEK, plasticsurgery.com. Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, presenting the Ethiopian soul music of Debo Band on Saturday, November 5th, skidmore.edu/ZANKEL. And NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses, nbtbank.com. Thanks again to Andrea Schwartz for being here and answering all your questions. Thank you for the questions. Thanks, Zach Malloy, for the engineering. Colleen O'Connell answered the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Bob Berman's in the house. Stand by now for news.